Hey girl, hey! It's Erica, the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you guys all know, is both a brand, a blog, and a podcast, which talks about all things health and wellness related. And this week is no different. I really struggle with meal prepping. And when I meal prep, especially on a Sunday night for the rest of the week, or at least for like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, my life is so easy. Like, I don't have to worry about packing lunches or cutting up the fruit for the week or whatever it entails. It just makes life so much easier. But something I really struggle with, especially on Sunday, I don't know if it's because it's like the Monday blues and you have to go back to work and you just don't want to do anything on Sunday, or life is a little bit different these days with the little baby around. But yeah, so I struggle a lot with meal prepping. So this week's podcast episode is super interesting because I interviewed a private chef and food blogger, Lee Anderson. She's LA based. And we talk all about basically meal prep and easy to make foods and how she works with her clients who have different lifestyles and different diets. And we even touch on the oh so picky kid diet that she has to deal with on a regular basis. So that was really interesting. I was definitely taking notes there. If you live in the LA area and you're looking for a private chef or just for an event or just for a consultation, Lee is definitely your girl, and I'll leave all of her information in the podcast notes. This week's podcast was sponsored by one of my favorite small shops, and it's a high vibe shop, I should add. I'm actually looking into getting a Mollus necklace for baby Lizzie from Blooming Lotus Jewelry. Blooming Lotus Jewelry is run by Jen, and she just does an amazing job. All of her jewelry is of such a high quality, such high vibes, and she also gives back to charity a lot. So I think you all should head over to www.bloominglotusjewelry.com and use the code BYOK and you'll save a bunch. And without further ado, let's jump into Chef Lee Anderson's podcast interview. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So let's jump right in. Why don't you give us a brief background about yourself?
Okay, so I am a private chef. I live in LA. I do meal prepping and dinner parties for a lot of my clients here that live in the city. Pretty much it. And I have a food blog.
And where did you get your credentials as a chef?
I went to culinary school in Pasadena at Le Cordon Bleu. And I worked from culinary school. I worked in different restaurants as a line cook, just hustling, trying to make it all work.
I love it. And are you born and raised in LA?
I'm not. I'm actually from Maryland originally.
East Coast. So you're an East Coaster.
Yeah.
I love that. So let's just talk about how you really got into becoming a chef, why you chose that career, and what's really drawing you to that.
So I have been drawn to cooking since I was really little. My brothers and I used to play restaurant. I loved watching Food Network and PBS and cooking shows, and I just loved all of it. And I started cooking when I was really young, even just making like boxed macaroni and cheese. Like, I would get Kraft mac and cheese and I would mise it all out and I would pretend like I had my own cooking show. So I always knew I wanted to do something with cooking and with food, but I kind of didn't know what. And I moved to LA after high school, and kind of found out what culinary school was. Like, I didn't even know that existed. And I was like, wow, a whole college you can go to where you learn cooking. It would just seemed like a dream come true. So I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Pasadena, and I loved it. It was amazing. It was a lot of hard work. And as soon as I was done with school, I jumped right into an internship working at a restaurant and just trying to work my way up and become a line cook. And that's kind of where it started.
And so how did you transition to becoming a private chef? And also, what kind of clients do you have? Is it like, you know, celebrities in LA, or is it, you know, just normal people?
A little bit of everything. So I loved being a line cook, but it was so grueling. That work is just so physically and emotionally demanding. I think that we all watch Food Network and we watch Chopped and Top Chef, and it's like very glamorous. But holy moly, that is just, that lifestyle is no joke. And you're working like 70 hours a week, and it was crazy. And I thought, I love doing this, but how can I make a career cooking and not feel like I'm killing myself every single day? And that is when I went out looking for clients and to do some private chefing for. So I really like got on Craigslist, and there's just, Craigslist is very hit or miss, but I found the most amazing family that was really looking for just simple help with feeding their kids and feeding themselves. They're a busy family where both parents work, and they needed help, and they were kind of over all of the meal delivery services and things like that. And so that's where I came in, and I started grocery shopping for them, and I would bring the groceries back to their house, and I would make like four dinners. I would make a frittata. I would make some snacks, and just even just like washing vegetables and prep, like cutting and cleaning fruit and keeping their fridge really stocked with like lots of healthy options. That's kind of where it all started. My clients all are like both parents work. So everyone, no one has time to like come home and make dinner. And they range, I've worked for celebrities before, but for the most part, all my clients, some of them might work in the industry, but everyone's just like a busy, hardworking family.
I love that, because the intention is there. Like, people want to feed their kids and feed themselves healthy. It's just, it's time consuming. So I love that you actually do the grocery shopping and you actually cook at their house. Is that correct?
I do. And let me just tell you, girl, because I know you're about to have your little one.
Yes.
My toughest clients are the kids of my family that I work for. Holy moly. They are, the kids are so difficult. And I think so many parents are like, how do I cook for my children, because they don't want to eat anything. They just want pasta with butter. And I can't blame them, because pasta with butter is so delicious. But a big part of my job too is just trying to incorporate new foods into their kids' diets and make sure they're eating a balanced meal every once in a while.
So let's kind of go down that road since you opened that up. What are some ways that you integrate healthy foods into kids' diets? Like, are there a couple like go-to meals? Are there a couple go-to like just foods in general that you find kids will voluntarily eat?
There are a few things. So I think exposure is really key. The first time you introduce, like, I have a lot of the kids, like, I would make something, let's say, with zucchini, and I'd make it four times, and four times they would be like, ew, gross, like, I'm not eating this. It's so disgusting. And on the fifth time, they'd be like, oh my God, this is so delicious. Like, if you just keep putting it in front of them, keep trying, eventually they will try it. The other thing, you can be kind of sneaky and like hide stuff in their food. Kids love meatballs. Oh my goodness. I make so many meatballs throughout the week, and that is the perfect perfect food to shred some carrots into, shred some zucchini. It's a great little hiding place for like vegetables. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I just keep trying, I think, is the main thing. And then just understand that some nights it's totally fine to have pasta with butter or a box of macaroni and cheese. They'll be fine.
That's actually really funny. I was just like flipping through a magazine the other day and I saw that trick to start hiding your veggies in your meatballs. And I was like, oh, I totally gotta try this on my husband and see if this works.
I actually make for adults these chicken meatballs with shredded zucchini and feta in them. And it's not, my intention is not to hide the zucchini in there. It makes them so moist and delicious. They're so good.
Oh, such a good tip. I love that.
Yeah.
So what kind of meals do you prepare? Do you, you know, individualize it based on, like, the keto diet and paleo diet or vegetarian? Or is there a certain preference that you have when you cook? Where do you kind of fit that into your preparation?
Yeah, so funny that you say keto and paleo, because those are two, like, really hot diets right now, and I have a family that is paleo and a family that is keto. What I've learned is, like, my, kind of in this world, my opinion doesn't really matter that much, so I do have to, like, cater to exactly the needs of my client. Yeah, so everyone is on different diets. This is Los Angeles, after all, so people are eating very low-carb, very healthy, very clean. Yeah, so when I first take on a new client, I always sit down with them and ask them what their preferences are and their dietary specifications and then just their aversions. What do they not like? And they'll usually give me like a pretty short list at first. And then like, as we keep going, they're like, oh yeah, I don't like this, or I love this. And new things come up here and there. But, all of my families are different. I certainly do not cook the same meals over and over again.
That totally makes sense. So when it comes to meal prepping on your end, do you have any meal prep hacks or tips or shortcuts or just anything for us? Commoners, you know, non-chef, that we could also integrate into our meal prep?
So, home cooks, I think is the right term. I have a couple tips. One thing is just make sure each area in your kitchen is properly stocked. So, starting with the freezer. The freezer I always keep. There's some really cool brands and companies and even local ones at farmers market making super nutrient-dense bone broths and chicken stocks, bone stocks. I always have those in the fridge. That is such a good go-to. I use it for cooking grains, making soups, I don't use a ton of frozen veggies, although there's nothing wrong with that. But what I do is I cook a lot of grains in bulk. So I will make a big batch of quinoa cooked in bone broth, with a little bit of salt and a little bit of butter. And then once that is properly cooled, you can put that right in the freezer. And it's so easy to just take out a little bit and reheat it. You could microwave it. You could steam it on the stovetop. It's cooked grains keep really well in the freezer. Moving on to the fridge, just make sure you have like all of your condiments that you need and all of the basics. That way, when you go to the grocery store, you're not bringing home this huge haul of food that is so exhausting to just carry. I have to go up like 3 flights of stairs in my apartment. So if I'm overwhelmed just from grocery shopping, I'm not going to want to come home and cook. Like I'm already going to be too tired to put away the groceries.
Definitely so not.
If you keep your pantry well stocked, you can kind of just run to the store and grab a few veggies and meat.
Do you have like a few like favorite condiments that like you can't live without, like you just are always having on hand?
I have a couple, and I always highlight these on my Instagram too. So I always have, there's this new company, it's called, I think it's new, lot sauce, and they make a chili oil that is so good. And something I love about it is they make a mild chili oil, so you get all of the flavor without the spice. I always have some kind of mayo or veggie on hand. I am obsessed with tahini. I'm doing a lot of tahini sauces right now. I always have avocado oil, olive oil, really good salts, like high quality salts. I always have, oh my gosh, this list could go on and on.
I love this. I'm taking note.
Yes. I always have like coconut milk is a big one. I love to make curries, or I use coconut milk to make a soup really nice and creamy without adding dairy. Lots of nuts, grains. What else? So many things. Mustard, vinegars. You always want to be able to have stuff to make a salad dressing. Yeah, this list could really get long. Canned tomatoes.
Perfect. I'm definitely going to include all those items in the show notes. So after you move on from the freezer and the pantry, as far as meal prepping, where do you head next?
So once I have everything really well stocked, so another thing I like to do is make sure you have the right tools and you have good quality tools. Make sure you have a sharp knife. And I think this is something that's really intimidating to home cooks. And one of the biggest things I see when I go into a new client's house is I pick up their knife and it is so dull. And I totally get that. Most people don't even know where to start with sharpening a knife. And if you do, I can send you a link. I have the best knife sharpener that was less than $10 on Amazon. And if you just run your knife through it a few times, I swear it makes cooking so much more enjoyable. It makes cutting an onion so much less tedious. Little things like that make all the difference when you are setting out to meal prep for a whole week. Making sure you have a good blender or even just a microplane, stuff like that. You just want to have all the right tools. Oh, and great like glassware to store all your food in. I love using, I think it's called Glass Lock. Their containers are fully glass and then the top is plastic and they lock onto the bottom part and they're amazing. And they look beautiful in your fridge and your food looks beautiful in them. And I think, you know, you eat with your eyes first. So you want everything to look really nice. So definitely make sure you have the right equipment for cooking.
Now, when you go to your clients' houses, do you use their tools or do you bring your own tools?
A little bit of both. I always bring my own knife. I have a few tools that I really like. I love my mandolin that just thinly slices veggies, and you can do like shredded. It has like different attachments so you can like shred stuff too. But for the most part, if they don't have what I need there already, I'll just order it for them and make sure they're ready to go by the time I get there. But I always bring my own knife.
I love that. So you actually have something on your blog called like the Cookbook Club. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so that has been kind of a new little journey for me. If you go, I think I only have a couple recipes up right now, but monthly we've been doing a cookbook club on my Instagram and on my blog. And just showcasing new cookbooks that are coming out and old cookbooks. I am a cookbook addict. My house is full of them. I have like 3 bookshelves that are just full of cookbooks. There's so much good content in them and there's so many great ones out right now. I put up a vote and we vote on some cookbooks to go through and test out the different recipes and I share them on the blog, and it's really fun. And a lot of times I buy all these cookbooks and sometimes they just sit in stacks in my living room, so it's been fun to kind of go back through and share them with all of my followers.
For
a newbie home cook, if you had to pick three cookbooks for them to pick up, which three would you recommend?
Okay, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now.
Perfect.
Something by Otto Lange. So he is the one, he has restaurants in London, and his cookbooks, I think the most popular one is Plenty. That's like, I think one of his first ones. It's incredible. This is where my obsession with zucchini comes from. He's just doing lots of healthy roasted vegetables and tons of healthy recipes, but that are just like a little bit out of my comfort zone. So I like to have that challenge, but it's definitely not too challenging. I also would recommend, the Heartwood Cookbook is incredible. It's all Mexican cuisine from this restaurant in Tulum. And then what else would I choose? Okay, I have this incredible baking book, but I forget what it's called. Oh, this baking book is called Patisserie at Home. I can send you links for all this stuff.
Yes, please do. Amazing.
It is like a visual masterpiece, and it takes you through all the baking steps in a way that I've never seen before. And let me just tell you, I know how to cook, girl, but baking is a whole other beast, and it is something that I'm not that great at. So I love this book because it really makes things simple.
So I feel like I hear that a lot, and I totally understand because I'm not much of a baker. Like, I try really hard, and I just can't pull together. And, I mean, I cook dinner every night, but I'm not a great cook. But what would you say is, like, the big difference between cooking and baking? Like, I guess, like, skill-wise.
Baking is all about precision. Everything needs to be perfectly measured, timed, and things like that. Whereas cooking, like, think about making a pot of spaghetti. You can kind of adjust it as you go, add a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Nothing has to be too terribly precise. You know, we use, in cooking, we use measurements like, oh, throw a pinch of this in and a handful of that. Whereas for baking, you really need to be weighing out ingredients and setting a lot of timers. And I'm just not that kind of person. I think it might be like a left brain, right brain kind of situation.
That totally makes sense. I definitely agree with that. Now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, I'm not so much about measuring. I just kind of like throw everything in and expect it to work, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Me so
too.
What about meal prepping for yourself? Like, do you have like go-to meals that you consistently make for yourself or that you meal prep? Especially I'm thinking like meals that you can like make in bulk and then freeze.
Yeah, I don't make a lot of things in bulk and freeze them other than, like I was saying, greens and having bone broth on hand. But I do, so one thing I suggest for people, and this is something I do for myself, I try and commit to making 4 dinners a night. And I think a lot of people are like me, like I do eat out a couple nights a week, so I don't always, I mean, sometimes I don't, but I try and commit to making, what did I say? Yeah, 4 nice dinners. And what I do is I, 3 of them are the ones that I know, like the back of my hand, things I've been making for years. Something I'm living off of right now is sushi bowls. So I just make sushi rice, put some veggies on top, and, you know, toast some nori, and it's just, like, really simple. I do, like, a vegan version, so there's not even any fish. And then, for one of my dinners, I challenge myself to make something I've never made before, or something I've been wanting to make, or open one of those cookbooks and find a recipe that is just, even if it's something like, oh, I would have never thought to make this. And if I can get to do that once a week, and the rest of the week I can kind of eat things I already know I like. I know I cook for my boyfriend too. I know he's gonna like it. And then just that one time we can try something new. And sometimes those new recipes end up being the recipe you now know, like the back of your hand, and it becomes one in your regular rotation. And that's such a good way to mix it up and make sure you're not eating the same things, because I get really bored if I eat the same things over and over again.
I'm the same exact way. I get so bored, and then you don't want to eat it. And my husband's the opposite. He likes the same thing. You know, like, if he likes something, he likes it and he wants it, like, every night of the week. It's so obnoxious.
Yeah. I cannot do that. I need a lot of variety.
So what are some of your favorite meals that you prep for you and your boyfriend?
That is a good question. I'm going to, like, open my Instagram because I put everything on there, and this is, like, my most – these are my biggest – my favorite recipes. Tacos. I love tacos. I try and do Taco Tuesday almost every week. We don't always get to it, but just – it's so easy. You can just grill off some steak, some chicken, whatever meat you want, or do veggies. I love doing, like, butternut squash tacos. Have your tortillas. Those can be in the freezer. That's really easy. And if anyone out there knows what it's like cooking for two people, sometimes it's hard because you buy, like, a pack of 8 tortillas and you only eat 4 of them. Throw them in the freezer. They'll totally last.
I had no idea you could throw those in the freezer.
Yes, girl.
I love that.
Red goes in the freezer really. It freezes really well.
Perfect.
What else do I like to do? I like to have lots of fresh veggies just washed and cut. It seems so simple, but if they're there and they're ready, you'll eat them. And if they're not and it's like a hassle and you have to wash them, like, it's going to make it less likely that you're, you know, it's easier to reach for a bag of potato chips.
Absolutely.
You know, so just make it easier for yourself. Roasted vegetables. I always, when I go to the grocery store, I'll get like a head of cauliflower, some broccoli, a sweet potato. I toss that with a little bit of avocado oil, a little bit of cumin, and a little maple syrup and salt, and then roast it at 400 until it all gets like really crispy and caramelized. That is one of my favorite things to have in the fridge. Then I can just eat that with some quinoa, half an avocado. Salad dressing. I always make sure to have a homemade salad dressing ready. I'm just not a fan of bottled salad dressing, so that is one of the easiest things. If you're new to cooking, definitely learn how to make some salad dressings. That was one of the first things I learned when I was a kid, and it's a great way to play around with, like, learning how to balance flavors, salty, sweet, and acidic.
So what are one or two of your favorite salad dressing mixes?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, so what are, like, one or two of your favorite, like, salad dressing combinations?
Okay, so I have a salad dressing. I actually learned it from someone else, but it is one part oil, and then, sorry, it's one cup of oil. This will last you, like, a week or more. A cup of oil, a half a cup of rice wine vinegar, and about 4 tablespoons of soy sauce, and then just a clove of chopped garlic. You can put that all in a mason jar and shake it, and it is so tasty. Another thing I like to always have on hand is, like, a healthier version of a Green Goddess dressing. So I'll use, like, vegenaise and an avocado, all the herbs in my fridge. I always have herbs in my fridge that are, like, about to go bad. So I'll throw all of those in a blender with some garlic and lemon juice and blend that, and that is just such a good dressing, and it can also be, like, a good dip to put chopped up veggies in.
That sounds delicious. I love it.
Yeah.
So since you're basically, I guess you're not eating all day, but you're, like, around food all day, I feel like I would just want to, like, pick and eat. Like, how do you balance that? How do you balance healthy eating with your job? Like, do you feel like you're constantly eating all day?
I am. And I usually, that's kind of what my lunch is. So as I'm cooking for clients, you have to taste the food that you're cooking. So that kind of ends up being my lunch. And I'll be making something and set a little bit of a side for myself. So I don't usually meal prep myself for lunches, but I'll have, like, stuff in the fridge for snacks and dinners. So to be totally honest with the way my lifestyle is, I kind of do eat what I'm making for my clients for the most time, which is actually not bad because my clients all eat pretty healthy. So, yeah, I'm really lucky. When I was working in restaurants and I was making fried chicken and butter sauces and mashed potatoes and all of this really rich, I worked in a French restaurant and it was so rich and that's what I was eating all the time. Oh, it was awful. I felt sick all the time. It was just, yeah. So transitioning into private chefing was really good for me.
So where can everybody find you? Where can they find your recipes? Where can they connect with you? Go ahead and pimp yourself out.
Thanks. So I am on Instagram at Lee Hyatt Anderson. And that's my website as well, LeeHyattAnderson.com. And I'm on Facebook, but I don't really do much over there. So follow me on Instagram and check out the blog.
And, of course, I have one last question for you, and that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ooh, there are so many good ones right now. I found one, I can't remember what brand it is, that was passion fruit flavored, and it's incredible. Passion fruit, anything, is my jam.
Love it. And you guys have so many options out in LA. I feel like over on the East Coast, we really haven't gotten like the diverseness that you guys really have out there.
It's coming your way. It'll be there soon.
I'm hoping. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Erica.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.